Father, we just thank you for this day, Father. This is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be proud and glad in it, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just ask that you, for your blessings on the Sunday school class. Father, let the word come through. May it touch our hearts and our minds.
Yes, Lord.
Just show us your love, Father, and your word.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless everyone here. Father, just bless everyone that's not here.
Yes, Father.
We just ask for your mercy and your grace and your love. And we ask for your word, Father, that to permeate our hearts, Father, and our souls, Father. Let your will be done in our lives, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Bless this new year, Father, and have your way in it.
Yes,
and we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll be in chapter 10 of Romans then. Unless anybody has anything they want to say out of 9 before we go ahead and go into 10. Are we good? Okay. I'll start off reading a little bit then. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring him up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word of nigh is even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." You know, I'm going to stop right there. You know, when you realize that Paul, he did have a deep desire to see, you know, all of Israel be saved. But, you know, if he really knew the word, which I believe he did, you know, because he'd have revelation of God, he knew that all Israel would be saved, because, you know, he knew that God was, that what the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary was for all mankind. And, you know, that doesn't mean that they aren't going to have to bow their knee and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, because they will, and everyone will have to do that at some point in time. But, you know, they were going about trying to establish, like I said here, trying to establish their own righteousness, rather than the righteousness that we have is not that we're good folks and, you know, we're worthy of it. The righteousness that we have has been imparted to us through Jesus Christ. It's an impartation. And, you know, we don't deserve it. We don't. We didn't earn it. But yet, it so pleased the Lord that he gave it to us, you know. He gave us his righteousness. And, you know, when Jesus came, he paid the debt for all of mankind. And you know, that one song we sing, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. You know, I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. You know, and wow, I mean, that pretty much sums it up, don't it? I mean, that's pretty much what took place there, you know. But you know, everything that we do has to be by faith. You know, by believing and trusting in the truthfulness of God and who and what he is to us. And that's what puts us in right standing with God. It's not that, like I say, that we do all good things or that we're perfect people in that sense, because we still fall short of the glory of God at times. But you know what? He doesn't look at us that way. He looks at us as that he's paid that debt. It's been paid. And you know, Scripture says if we sin, we're, you know, and we confess our faults, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he does, you know. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Anybody got anything they want to say about any of that I just read?
No.
in the Gospel of John, it says that, you know, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And he's the author and the finisher of our faith, but he's also the author and the finisher of our grace that he has imparted to us, you know. And thank God, that's one of the greatest gifts that we've ever been given, was the grace of God, you know. And I like the definition of grace in the Strong's Concordance. It's the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection into the life, you know. And really, when you talk about his divine influence begins to influence, when we're talking about the heart, it begins to influence our mind, our will, our intellect, yeah, our emotions, and all those things. And then it begins to reflect out into the life. And you know, what really is kind of astounding at times is the fact that when we have something happen that would have happened maybe 20 years ago or something, and know how we would have reacted at that point, you know, maybe we would have reacted really bad, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you'll find out that God has changed you, and you don't react the way that you used, yeah, to, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, you know, something that used to just devastate you doesn't really bother you like it did, would, you know, years ago and stuff. And that's part of even him letting you know that, hey, I've made changes in your life, and I'm gradually, line upon line, I'm changing you, and precept by precept, you know. And that's exactly what he does, you know, changes us a little bit at a time, and it's a gradual change. And in some areas it's a dramatic, quick change. In other areas it's that gradual change. But in most areas it's kind of a slow, gradual change that he makes in our lives, you know. Okay, anybody got anything they want to say? If not, I'll go on a little further. It says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness," verse 10, "and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is over all and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you know, and when it says whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved, we know that the scripture says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Mm-hmm. So when they confess, they're going to be saved, whether it's on this side of the veil or the other side of the veil of life, you know. So that's the neat thing about it, is that, you know, that he's in control, and his mercy is, it's limitless, you know. Yep. And it says, "How then shall they call on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And you know, I can tell you, he's not talking about in the natural, because if you take your shoes off, we got some of us have got some pretty ugly looking feet. Got corn, calluses, and everything else, you know. But what he's really talking about is the beauty of the walk of the Lord, you know, and how God made such a beautiful change. Can you imagine? I mean, just think about this: how the Jews must have thought when here they had seen Paul. And they knew that he even had letters from the high priest and stuff to incarcerate people and to have them jailed and, yeah, even have them stoned and stuff. You know, he had all that power. And here this same guy that was doing that kind of stuff had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And then this same guy, just a little bit down the road, it was like 3 years, because he went down into Arabia, I think, for 3 years, I think it was. And I believe God really dealt with him, you know, and gave him the full revelation of Jesus Christ that he had. Because when he came back and he started preaching, and he did preach immediately, but he went aside for a while and let the Lord deal with him, you know. Mm-hmm. And when he started preaching, all of a sudden the one who was carrying him off to prison, he was preaching Jesus Christ and everything that he was. And what did the Lord speak to him when he appeared to him as he was going down the road? He told him how he was going to show him. He had Ananias come and talk to him. And he said, and tell him how great of things he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. And Paul was thrown in jail. He was shipwrecked. He had all kind of stuff done.
He was left for dead before,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah. Yeah, they stoned him. They did everything to him. Mm-hmm. Throwed him in prison.
Yeah. Who was boiling? He put the oil, hot oil.
Oh, that was John.
John,
yeah, yeah. According to Fox's Book of Martyrs, the Apostle John, they throwed him into a cauldron of boiling oil, trying to kill him, and it didn't hurt him. You know, God did some miraculous things. You know, if you read some of them accounts, and those are actual accounts taken from, you know, from different towns and different things that were historically written. You know,
I just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
That's right.
Going into the furnace.
That's right. That's right. And you know, that's the thing we don't understand sometimes. That, you know, Scripture tells us the angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him.
Yeah.
And if you fear the Lord, you know, you don't really have to be too afraid of anything else, because got news for you. He has that protection around you. And anything that he lets the hedge down that comes into your life, it's not necessarily to punish you, but it's a lot of times so that his glory might be seen in that situation, you know. I mean, you know, I bet everyone sitting around here at one time or another, you can think back about a situation where you could have been killed, or maybe you almost were killed, you know what I mean. And it just, something intervened and kept that from happening, you know.
Well, just like when I was working in San Jose at the machine shop, and my machine had a cable, the wire was coming in from,
uh-huh,
from 220, it was more than
some
that.
Some were 440 and some were 220, yeah. Yeah.
And it was too long, so I had them shorten it up.
Yeah.
But they made it too short, and when I turned my head to cut a longer piece of metal.
You ripped it loose.
They when I turned it pulled
the
sleeve off, and it had bare wires.
Whoa.
And then when I went to turn it on,
mm-hmm,
my hand slipped. So when I turned it on, because I normally keep my hand on mm-hmm, on the head of it, and when I went to turn it on, no, I didn't reach up and touch it. I had my hand to my side.
Mm-hmm.
When I turned the switch on, my hand flipped off, and it said, bam, that wire hit that metal.
Mm-hmm.
And if my hand had been on there, I'd have been electrocuted.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So just my hand flipped, yeah, off, and I didn't think about putting my hand like, yeah, I normally do on my machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I worked in a machine shop years ago, too, and I was working at this U.S. drillhead company, and I was running an ID, an internal grinder, you know, and the guy behind me was running an OD grinder, and they had our machines real close to each other, but they had them staggered. Like, his machine was, like, out here, and mine,
yeah,
was in here, and then the next one was, you know, and they were all staggered as you went down,
yeah,
down the aisle. And I'm standing there, and the guys in the shop had... They were wanting to get some health insurance, you know, like sickness insurance. And we had a mutual aid society where we just contributed to it, and it was supposed to give you sick pay when you got sick, like $60 a week or something back then. That was a long time ago. And but we were trying to get the company to institute something. This was something that the guys just did among themselves, you know. And so... For some reason, I always got asked to be on all these committees, you know. Not that I wanted to be on them, but I'd have guys come and ask me. I said, "Well, we trust you, you know. We think you won't lie and stuff and all that, you know." So anyway, so I'm standing there, and we were in the process of trying to talk to the company about this, and in the department right next to me, which was about as far away as from here to the hallway out there, you know, and I'm pretty close, you know. They had a group leader over there that had a really volatile temper. I mean, very volatile. And him and he only had like three guys in his department. Well, in my department, I had about 12 or 15 guys, you know, worked in my department. But anyway, I'm standing there and I can see that they're arguing, you know. He's arguing with one of the guys over there. And I could, but just by watching them, I could tell what they were arguing about. They were arguing about that sickness and accident insurance, you know. And they were really getting really heated. And I mean, if I had let it go on, they'd have probably went over the edge, you know, because he was very, very volatile. It's a wonder if they ever kept him as a group leader, you know. But so I'm standing there and I'm thinking, well, maybe I ought to go over and try to calm the situation down, you know. And I walked over there and I no sooner got over there and I just walked over and I started to talk to him. I said, guys, I said, don't worry, you know, don't argue about this. I said, it might happen, it might not happen. I said, we're just talking to them about it to see if we can get some insurance that they'll pay for that we don't have to pay for, you know. And you know, and I had just calmed them down. I mean, they were going at it, man. I mean, you know, pretty hot and heavy, red faces and all that stuff, you know. And just about the time I was talking to them, the guy behind me wrecked his machine.
No.
And he had a shaft about as long as this table in this machine, mm-hmm. about that big around. Mm-hmm. And he's OD grinding it, and he wrecked his machine, and it threw that shaft out of his machine, and it went flipping. I had a metal, like, partition that I had put up between me and him,
yeah.
because he smoked all the time, and that smoke would drift over on me. And he'd turn his water up too high, and his coolant mist would just get me soaking wet almost standing there. So I had put up this metal barrier in between us, but it was only about 6 foot high. And that part came out of that machine, flipping end for end, mm-hmm. went right over that barrier and came right down where I would have been standing.
Ooh.
So it literally would have killed me,
yeah.
probably, mm-hmm. or knocked my head off or something. If I had hurt you.
You
know what? And then that's the first thought that came to my mind was, blessed are the peacemakers, mm-hmm. for they shall be called children of God.
Yeah. You will.
And I was trying to make peace.
Yes.
I thought, thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. You know, but I mean, you know, that was one time when I could have really been killed, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had other situations that's happened, you know, but, you know, I've had situations when I was real young. I won't get into the whole gist of it one time, but I had a guy actually pull a gun on me and was, you know, like act like he was going to shoot me. And I wasn't a Christian at that point, but God had his hand on me then because for some reason I wasn't afraid of that guy. And I didn't back down from him. And I think if I'd acted like I was afraid of him, he might have done something. You know, he might have shot me. And I hadn't done anything to him, you know. But he was just a troublemaker. And it was when I was going with Margaret. And, you know, and I had a couple little run-ins with him over the years. And I never did do anything to him, but I come close to it a couple times, you know. He was a man, and I mean, I was a teenager. This guy, eventually, he got put in jail for the stuff that he was trying to do. But when they read his record, he had armed robbery, bootlegging, all kinds of things. I mean, you know, because back years ago, when you went to court, they didn't hold back your previous record. You know, this was back in the, you know, around the early 70s. It was before that, you know, where they had to read your rights and all that stuff came in, you know. And you know, I had a couple different instances where something could happen with him, you know, and it didn't. And I look back now and I think, well, you know, that was just the Lord intervening there. He kept it from happening, you know.
Who was the one that had given his heart to the Lord was in church? Down the elm when he came out on the porch.
Oh, that was Lee Helpenstein. I think Brother Lee must have been of Jewish origin or something because he had a kind of an accent when he talked. You know, he talked sort of like, you know, Jewish people, a lot of times if you've been around a lot of Jewish people, they talk a little bit, not funny, but just different than, you know, they've got little things that they say that, you know, tips you off that they're Jewish, you know. But he was one of the elders in the church down at Wings. But when he right after he first got saved, he used to hang in the bars apparently down there in Elmwood, and he was got in fights and stuff. And Lee was a pretty good sized guy, you know, and he used to fight around a lot and all that kind of stuff. And you know, he said that he told his story. He said that he was at the church, you know, he got saved, and he said he was one of the last ones to come out of the church. And he said he come out of the church, and there was nobody else there. You know, and he said he stepped out onto the porch, and you know how at the old church, the street was here, and there was a porch that ran across mm-hmm. the front of the church. It was like a house, and then they had built a church onto the side of a house, is what they had done. And anyway, he said he stepped out onto the porch, and he said, and he looked, and he seen these two guys coming up the street, and he thought, oh no, here we go. Because this was guys he used to get in fights with, against, you know, against, not with, but against. And he said, I said, oh no, here we go. And he's standing there, and he said the guys walk up the street and they look over at him, and he said they just kind of looked at him, and he said they went on. And he said I just said, whew, you know, there was two of them, you know, so he would have had to fight with two of them. And he said later on. A little bit down the line, he said he ran into one of those guys, and that guy had got saved, you know, himself. Mm-hmm. And he told him, he said, you know, he said, that day when we come out and saw you up there on the porch at the church, he said, yeah. He said, if that real big guy hadn't been there with you, he said, we were going to come over and take him. He said, there was nobody there with me. He said, I thought, well, the angel of the Lord was sure camping around me. He said, because I didn't see anybody. He said, there was nobody behind me or nothing. He said, if that big guy hadn't been over there, we would have come over and got you. You know.
Oh, what God has spared us from.
I love him. He used to make me laugh. I mean, some of the stuff he'd say sometimes. He had a tremendous prophetic ministry. Very strong word of mm-hmm. prophecy. And and he played the trumpet. He played the trumpet in church, and he was a pretty good trumpet player. And he said one time, he said somebody knocked his trumpet over up on the platform and put a dent in it. Mm-hmm. Well, he was upset, you know. I mean, he dented his trumpet, you know, because trumpets are not very thick. I mean, they're actually pretty. They're not really not very heavy. They're real thin brass, you know, metal. And you know, he said, I went over and picked up my trumpet. He said, I was kind of upset. And I said, Lord, they bent your trumpet. He said, the Lord said, he said, God spoke to me and said, son, that's not my trumpet. You're my trumpet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
And I thought,
beautiful.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. I love that brother. I mean, you know, I talked to his wife different times after he died. She says, he always thought the world of you, Oscar. He used to always talk about you, what the Lord was going to do with you and all this stuff. And I said, well, I said, I thought the world of him too. I said, he was a big influence on me when I was a young Christian. I mean, Lord gave him words for me many times, you know, right when I needed them, you know.
Beautiful.
But, yeah, he was a good brother, you know. But, you know, there's stories after stories after stories that you could tell about people, you know, that you've known over your lifetime where God has just intervened, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was coming home from church one time, and I was coming across Baltimore Avenue over in Western Hills, and I was going to turn on Westwood Northern Boulevard, and I pull out. And I start making a left-hand turn. And I mean, I was into my left-hand turn. And this guy passed me on the left side. Now, there was no room to pass me because I had started in, there was an intersection there, and there was a sidewalk here and a sidewalk here. And it was like a pretty wide street there, Westwood Northern Boulevard, you know. And I had already started into my turn, and this person came around me on the left-hand side, and they must have been going about 70 miles an hour or so. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were flying. I mean, because they went around me so quick. And how in the world I did not hit them, you know, or didn't they didn't hit me. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I went home and I told Margaret, I said, I don't know how in the world I did not hit that person, because they come around me, and I mean, I was already turning and into that turn, and they flew around me somehow and got past me, and I just went down the street just saying, well, thank you, Lord, because I knew I should have just been wiped out, you know, because there was no way that, it had to be, God just did something miraculous to keep them from hitting me.
I remember Jesse Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that incident where he was, had a busload of kids?
It wasn't him, it was someone that he had shared with them. Well, I didn't think it was him.
I thought it was him.
I thought it was a brother that he knew and had shared.
Anyway, they were on this bus, and it was on a two-lane highway.
Uh-huh.
It was a narrow cliff.
Well, it was around the cliff area.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was on the outside, the side, the ravine.
And this big truck was coming at down coming
toward
them, but he was in their lane.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, it was real narrow.
He couldn't try to turn, swerve, or anything like that.
Right.
And it was coming right at him. He said, "Oh God!" And when he got to saying, "Oh God," he looked up in his mirror and the truck was behind him.
Yeah. Oh. So you know what? When I got ready to make that turn, I said, I hollered out. I said, "Oh Lord," or something like that, because I knew I was going to get hit, because I heard him flying and I was already into the turn. I couldn't do anything. But you know, so many times we just don't know how the angel of the Lord encamps around us. You know what I mean? And it does. It's the Spirit of God. And buddy, you know, there ain't nothing can touch us unless God allows it to happen. You know what I mean?
He said there was nowhere for them to go.
Yeah.
Here was like the wall of like cliff-like. And over here,
drop-off.
It was a ravine drop-off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And didn't know what, just, I said, "Oh God," you know. And no crash. And
I think he closed, when he said, "Oh God," he closed his eyes. And then he looked up in the mirror, the truck was
there was in the rearview mirror, the back of the truck was past him.
That's past him, yeah.
God has,
you know,
God has time in his hands. God has
he
all time
that
in his hands.
With us.
Yes,
yeah.
He does.
He shared
he
that
absolutely
with us.
Does, you know.
And he would come here to and spoke.
I'm sitting here listening to you all about things that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing. I've never had to encounter anything my life must have really been boring, because I didn't have to, you know, I didn't in a car. I never had a wreck, you know.
Yeah.
No, whatever.
Well, didn't you tell, David, you told stories about your husband was very abusive when you were married?
Well, yeah.
But I mean, whether there wasn't, there may be times when he tried to, did he physically abuse you? Did he try to beat up on you or anything?
That's, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, even in that, the Lord kept him from ever
killing you,
you know, because that can get totally out of hand sometimes. And when you was in jail, how long was you in there at that time?
3 years.
3 years.
Your testimony.
Did you ever have anybody try to stab you or do anything bad to you in there? Really
bad.
Well,
there was this one girl, but you know,
yeah.
She kept bad mouthing me and.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why, because I never did anything to her, but
yeah.
She would say, "Your mother's this and no good." And
you know, years ago when somebody talked about your mother, that was fighting. That was fighting words.
Well, I didn't. I let it go.
Well, there you go.
I let it go.
Yeah.
And, but then after a while,
mm-hmm.
I just couldn't take it any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost killed her. But you know, things like that. Mm-hmm.
But see, even in situations like that, the Lord, if whether you realize it or not, He kept it from going so far that you did kill her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Even if you got into it with her pretty heavy, He kept you from doing it to the point that you would have maybe still been in prison.
Really? We would have gotten the guard was the one that stopped it.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I never had an encounter to where, like a wreck or anything like that, you know. You know, fights and things like that, I had them all the time. Mm-hmm. But I,
well, the thing about it is you might have had times when the Lord kept you out of something and you not realizing that He kept you out of it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it did or didn't, but I'm saying that a lot of times, you know, God will intervene in something. I mean, when I was 11 years old, you know, I didn't look 11 years old. When I was 11 years old, I could pass for 16, 17, 18 years old, you know.
I seen you when you were 3 years old.
Yeah, I showed you a picture of that. Yeah. But anyway, you know, I was down on Race Street, you know, downtown Cincinnati, down on Race Street and mother worked, so we really had no supervision during the day. I had two older sisters, but a lot of times they were off doing their thing, you know what I mean? And so I was down on Race Street with this guy that was a friend of mine, Kenny. Kenny was 16 or 17 years old, you know, and we were down at his uncle's house and we were playing poker, you know, penny ante poker, you know.
Yeah.
And Larry, his nephew, and Bobby, his brother, were there, you know, and we were all sitting around playing penny ante poker. I mean, I'm 11 years old, but I mean, but anyway, so we're playing poker, and Larry and Bobby got up and left. And me and Kenny sat there for a little while, and we played cards with his uncle, you know. And then we left, and we were down on Race Street downtown, and we started walking up Race Street, and I lived on Sycamore Hill back then. So I started walking up the street with Kenny, and here comes Larry in his car, driving his car, and he pulled up and said, "Hey, get in the car and let's go for a ride." And something told me, "Don't get in that car." something inside told me, "Don't you get in that car." I said, no, I'll just walk. Kenny said, no, we'll just walk. No, he says, "Some guy let me use his car. Just come on, get in the car, we'll go for a ride." No, I don't think so. Well, I ended up walking going home.
Did Kenny get in?
No, Kenny didn't get in either. And you know, maybe because I said I wasn't going to, I don't know. But anyway, they stole that car. They got chased by the police. They wrecked the car. They both went to reform school. And now, if I'd have gotten the car, I'd have been right in there with them. Yep. You know, I knew guys who robbed places and did things and stuff like that. I never did anything like that. You know, I mean, there was something always kept me from doing the things that some of them other guys did. You know what I mean? And I know it had to be the Lord because, I mean, I was just one of the guys. You know, you know what I mean? But you know what? I'm telling you, I told you all that story about me and Randy and James. That was two of my other friends. You know, Randy was always kind of a little bit on the wild side. You know, he always had knives and stuff like that. He had knife collection, and he always carried a switchblade. He always had a switchblade on him. Even when we were little kids, I mean, he always had a switchblade with him. And we were going to go over Kentucky and go swimming. And I mean, here we are. I'd say I don't know. I can't remember exactly how old we were. We might have been 12, maybe 13 at the most. And we lived in Mount Auburn. And we were going to walk all the way over to Kentucky, you know, which is a pretty long way from Mount Auburn in Cincinnati. and we were going to walk over and go across the bridge and go over to Kentucky and go swimming at I think it's called Tacoma Beach over there or something. But anyway, we start over through there, and we're walking. We're down close to the bridge, and this guy pulls up and asks us where we're going, and we say, "Well, we're going over to go swimming." He says, "Well, get in the car, and I'll drive you. I'm heading that way." Well, we're stupid kids, you know. We get in the car. Me and Randy sitting in the back seat. James got in the front seat. Well, he crosses the bridge, and to go to where that beach was, you had to turn to the left and go up the river, you know, a little ways. He turned to the right. And then he started driving up and going to go out of the city. You know, he's heading in another direction. You know, he's taking us somewhere. You know, we ain't supposed to be going. Well, Randy pulled that switchblade out and flopped it open and stuck it up to his neck and said, "You better pull this car over." And he didn't say it in that way, but he said it in a pretty rough way. And Randy, you know, he was kind of little. Randy wasn't real big. He was short, you know.
Was Randy in the back with you?
Yeah, me and Randy was in the back. Randy pulled that switchblade out, stuck it up that guy's throat. He said, "You better pull this car over and let us out of here." And he pulled over and let us out of here. Now, you know, you say, "Well, did the Lord intervene there?" Well, Randy had a switchblade knife on him, and he was with us. Because if it had just been me and James, we'd have probably been in trouble. We'd have to try to fight the guy or something, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I don't, you know, I'm just a grown man, you know, and here we are, you know, kids. And you know, different situations like that happen a lot of times, you know. You know, it's just one of them situations where, you know, Randy and them would, sometimes if I'd be up there running around with them or something, we'd be friends, you know, we were friends, and I'd be running around with them or something. And if we went walking through a neighborhood or something, they were the kind of kids that, and I didn't do that stuff because I just wasn't like that. But, you know, if they walked past somebody's car and they had an arrow on, they'd break the arrow off their car or something. And they were destructive. You know, they were always doing something destructive. And I told them a couple times, I mean, back then, I basically told them, I said, "Look, when I'm with you guys, I don't want you doing that stuff." I said, "Because if you get arrested and they put me in the same cell as you, you're going to be sorry." I mean, that's basically what I told them. I said, "Because I don't..."
It's going to be on.
That's right. I don't do that stuff. You know.
And you got to face your mom.
And, you know, usually what would happen if they... I got to the point where I didn't go very many places with them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Randy, he's called me up. He's the one. He's the friend that wanted me to baptize him. See, he called me different times, and he's told me he's killed people and he's done all kinds of things over his life. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he said he was in the military. He was a sniper and stuff, but he says he's killed people outside of there. You know, and different things. He's told me some of the stuff he's done. And I didn't seem, you know, I started going with Margaret when I was about 14. So that's how the Lord kept me out of a lot of things, you know. So I started going with her, and we were with each other all the time. And Margaret was, she's a good girl. I mean, she's a sweet girl. She's a good girl. She's tough. She's not a snowflake. I mean, she's a tough girl. But she wasn't, she didn't run around with a bad crowd or none of that kind of stuff. I mean, she, you know, Margaret, back years ago, if she'd get in a fight with somebody, I mean, she'd get in a fight with them. She could fight them pretty good, you know, because she had a bunch of brothers, you know, older brothers and stuff, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But anyway,
God really,
you know, Randy told me different times. He says, "If I come down there and if I get baptized," he says, can I share my testimony? And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm going to tell them how... I went the bad way and you went the good way." I said, "Well, Randy, you know." But I mean, you know.
It's good because it's going to bless someone. It's going to be a testimony.
Yeah. I said, "Well, I every time he gets where I prepare, like when you got baptized, he was supposed to be baptized that day."
Yeah.
The baptism we had before that, which was maybe six, 7 months before that, he was supposed to get baptized in too. And he's not, he's in real bad health. He's not very good health. And he ends up having to go in a nursing home because he gets where he can't walk and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he ended up in the nursing home. And then he'll call me. And just to show you how stupid we were, you know, when we were in grade school, I mean, we was in maybe the third or fourth grade or something like that. Well, this was back when a lot of them old-time gang movies was out, like with Sal Mineo and all that kind of stuff. Well, we was going to have a gang, you know. You know? And so we get these Levi jackets, you know. And I have some artistic ability. I can draw and stuff, you know, pretty good. But I drew a spider on the back of these jackets with paint or something. I can't remember exactly what I used. And anyway, when I did his, I misspelled spider, and I spelled it Spidey. So every time he calls me, he'll say, "Hey, this is Spidey." I said, "Yeah, Randy, how you doing?" He's always harassing me over that. But I love him. I mean, I pray for him whenever he calls me and I talk to him, you know, and stuff.
It'd be nice. If the time would come, because God couldn't bring it, and he would get to get baptized since he so has a desire.
I told him, I said, brother, I'll come up there and baptize you in your bathtub if you want me to. I said, I don't
What'd
care.
What did he say?
He said, "Well, we might have to do that sometime." He said, "I'm still going to come down there," and he keeps telling me. I said, "Well, he lives way up past a million, way up past Williamsburg and all that. He's pretty far out, you know." Mm-hmm. And I went up there to see him in the nursing home one time when he was in a nursing home. And when I got up there, they had just released him. You know, and I didn't know where he lived, and he's not real digital, you know what I mean? So when you call him a lot of times, you can't get him, you know. He's not real good with his phone or anything. Mm-hmm. And, I love him, I mean, like a brother. I mean, we grew up together, you know, and stuff. But he was always got in a little more trouble than I did and stuff. I always kind of hung back. I mean, I wouldn't go that far a lot of times.
Only time I felt that I had an encounter with God was with Manny. Kids were coming back from California.
Yeah.
And we were not on the highway. We were on a two-lane road along the Ohio River. And it was down by the dam, which is the deepest part of the river. And me and the kids were driving, and this car, I was going to turn left. Something was wrong. And this car came around me, and of course, I put my brake on, you know. Anyway, but he hit me, and I was hit in his house. There was a house there. Of course, the river was right there.
Oh, goodness.
And I had my five kids, and he, like, pushed me. You know, when he hit me, it somehow pushed me towards the river.
Yeah.
Now, you think you have to think real quick what's going to happen. Choose the river, you know, because I would have lost all my kids except maybe Jim. He was the oldest.
Yeah.
And Charlie. Mm. But there was no way I could have saved all of them.
Right.
And, I said, I can go in the river, or I can hit that tree, this huge tree. So I chose a tree. Of course, that did more damage than anything.
Yeah.
But
that's your survive.
I think that was the only time that I felt God
intervened,
had his part in that.
He caused that tree to grow there.
Thank God.
He gave you a stopping point.
But
praise the Lord.
It was
Yeah.
My daughter cut her tongue off just about.
Boy.
My one.
Yeah.
The other one, I
got an arena.
Well, nobody got killed.
No.
Nobody was permanently disabled or nothing. So,
no.
You know, and nobody died. So.
To me, I felt something, you know.
You felt like something happened.
Yeah.
To where you didn't go in the water. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it did, you know.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord.
I didn't know God back then.
Yeah. He knew you.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He knows us that. Yeah, he said, before we were formed in our mother's womb.
You got that deep water.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And all the kids. So praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But.
Merciful God.
Closing word of prayer for us.
Oh, how we thank you, Lord. There's so many things that you have kept us, protected us, covered us.
Yes.
And oh God, we just thank you for your protection and your love and your care over us, all of our family, and our friends, oh God. We give you praise, Father, because if it was not for you, Lord, where would we be? Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you. And as we go to the next service, Lord, may you be glorified. May you speak forth, and may we receive and hear and obey. We thank you, Father. We give you the praise and the glory, for we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.